I mentioned this morning, I think we've lost sight of the greatness of what the day represents. And Sunday morning last week, we were talking about the truth of Christmas and how that gets attacked and diverted from it. And I'm going to be doing a part two of that message right now. Luke chapter 2, starting there in verse number 1. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city." Now, understanding, even though we mentioned this morning, this is God working behind the scenes. The prediction went out, the prophecy was made that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And the Lord is moving behind the scenes to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. That is where the Savior is going to be born. That's why this decree went out. Remember, at that time, Joseph could have questioned, why in the world is this happening now? My wife is ready to give birth, and now we have to travel. Going from Galilee all the way down to Judea with a wife who is in her last trimester would not be easy by any means. And yet, of course, they made the journey. The Lord was with them. The Lord protected. And many times, I suppose the point I'm trying to get to at is this. There's many times events happen to us in life and in the world, whether it's even government related or not, that we have to understand as Christians, God's at work. We can trust in that and trust in Him, just like what was going on here with Joseph and Mary at this time. Verse 4, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I love you. Lord, I certainly do thank you for sending your son to this earth. Lord, to be our Savior. Lord, to die for our sins. Lord, to take our place in judgment. Lord, I certainly know that without that we had no hope. We would stand before a holy and a righteous God in judgment and we'd all be guilty. And yet you have provided a means of reconciliation by sending your own Son to this earth to become sin for us. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, this Christmas, may we see it is all about Christ. Lord, may we respond to the truth in a correct manner. May we respond to it seeing that you gave us your all, what you were willing to do in order to save us from judgment. And Lord, may you even convict us tonight about how little we give in return. And Lord, may we draw closer to you. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, I pray the gospel would pierce their soul and spirit tonight. I pray the conviction would be in place, that even this evening they would come and repent and place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, there is no better time than now for that. So I pray that your spirit would have free course to work in the hearts of lives tonight. Lord, draw us closer to you. I love you, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. As I mentioned in the message, last Sunday morning, one thing the devil is very good at is getting people diverted from truth, from what's right. Many times he will use things that are good to divert people from truth. He'll use it in many ways. He'll get you to settle for something good in your life instead of what's best. And what's best is going to be something that every time is based in truth. I believe Christmas is perhaps the greatest example and one of the greatest successes that the devil has had in diverting people from truth. The day has represented now as simply as a holiday season, a time of joy, a time of families getting together. There's nothing wrong with families getting together. That is a good thing. I have family in town. That's a good thing. But it's not what Christmas is about. It's not about sharing. It's not about the love of the season. It's not about any of those things. It's not about being kind to your fellow man. All those things should be in place and all those things are good. And the devil doesn't mind at all if you focus on those things at Christmas, as long as you don't see the truth behind it. The devil is good at getting us diverted from truth. He wants to conceal, as we saw in Scripture last Sunday, he wants to conceal God's loving kindness and the truth that he has. And he has to do a very good job at somehow trying to get people diverted from what this day represents, so they can focus on something else, whether that's the busyness of the season or just producing a false reason for it, so nobody sees what it's all about, the birth of the Son of God. Remember, truth is important. It's what makes us free, the Bible teaches us in John chapter 8 and verse 32. It's what prevents you from living a life of vanity. To actually operate in reality instead of apart from reality. The majority of the people on the planet operate apart from reality. You say, well, what do you mean? See, there is a coming judgment. God is real. He is there. And they live life as if there is no God without knowledge of Him. That's why the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23 to buy the truth and sell it, not because of how important it is. And then I finished up last Sunday talking about how to understand the truth of Christmas, of what that day represented. We had to go back to Genesis chapter 3 to the fall of man. We had to go all the way back to that very first Adam and see what took place. When in Genesis 3, they sinned against God. A separation had occurred. Man was now separated from his Creator. Man was now in a position where he'd be judged from a holy and a righteous God because of the sin that he committed. Something had to be done about that. A means of reconciliation had to take place. We took some time to look into Romans chapter 5 at how the Bible talks about how Adam's sin, how that because of one man's sin, death reigned. Because of one man's sin, condemnation came to all men. It put us in a hopeless position. Man was in a place where he could do nothing to save himself. He could do nothing to bridge himself back to God. Almost all of the world's religions, including the denominations, with many of the denominations within Christianity, are all man trying to bridge their way back to God. If I just go to church, if I just get baptized, if I just live a good life, I can somehow bridge this gap or atone for my sins. It's completely impossible. You can't do it. It is hopeless on our side. There is nothing you can do. And God knew that. And we talk, what God did was the first Adam sent us on this course of condemnation and death. So what he did was he had to send a second Adam. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. God in the flesh. He came to do just the opposite, as we saw in Romans chapter 5 and verse 18. You had the first Adam that sent us on this course of condemnation and death, but then the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, and it also refers to as the last Adam, unto justification and life. What he did was provide a means of reconciliation back to God. That's what the birth of Christ represented. That's the truth behind it. It is the Creator, Almighty God, putting into plan His plan to reconcile mankind back to Himself, to provide a means of escaping judgment. It's what the day represents. And if you're going to be able to respond correctly to it, you have to have the truth. Because of what Christ did, salvation is made possible to all men. If Christ doesn't come, we have no hope. No hope whatsoever. If He doesn't come to this earth, if Christmas doesn't happen 2,000 years ago, you have no hope. Please understand, when you die, it's not an end of your existence. It's not over with. Your soul goes on. Death is simply the separation of your soul from your body. I would imagine the majority of us in this room have been there when somebody has passed away. You have seen how instantly the change occurs in that body. You know life has left. What I mean by that is the soul has departed. It's gone. It's not just a blueness or anything like that. You know the life is gone. And you would be right, because the soul has departed. And that soul, when it departs, it either goes to heaven or hell. And apart from Jesus Christ, there would be no means of reconciliation back to God. There would be no way to eternal life. As we talked this morning, what He did through His life and through His death was the only thing that could produce salvation for mankind. It isn't your good works. It isn't that you have your own thing worked out between you and God, and you pray every now and then, and God understands you. You are deceived. You are self-deceived. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. It was through His life, through His death, and through His resurrection that salvation is possible. If you're not going through that door, He's going to look at you as a thief and as a robber, the Bible says. And you will invite, in no way will you have that eternal life. Think about this. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus Christ is preaching. It's perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached. He's talking about Judgment Day. And He lets it be known in several different portions in there, especially this portion of the sermon. He starts off talking about how few be there that find it. The multitudes will be judged and thrown into hell. And then in Matthew chapter 7, He gets even clearer with it. He said, in that day, Judgment Day, many will say unto Me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? Have we not done miracles? Have we not cast out demons? He says, then will I profess unto you, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity. Those were pastors and deacons and Sunday school teachers, yet they all went to hell. Their own mouth condemned them. They were putting their faith in what they were doing. Salvation is not in what you do. It is in what Jesus Christ did. And the truth of Christmas was the beginning of that plan of God in the flesh, sending His Son to this earth to be the propitiation for our sins, to take our place in judgment. It's only when you know the truth of Christmas that you can have the right response to Christmas. You see, Christmas should be about joy, but not joy simply because your family's getting together. Joy because of what it represents, that the Creator Almighty just didn't condemn us all. He could have did that and been just in doing so. But because He loved us, He put into motion a plan to save us. That's what it represents. And so that's where you can begin to see the proper response to the truth of Christmas. Now let's continue in Luke chapter 2. I left off at verse 7. I want to go down to verse 8 now. And again, we're going to see now a response to the first Christmas. Verse 8 says this: and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass that the angels were gone away from them into heaven. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When they seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now think of this. Here are those shepherds. They're in the field. They're outside of the town of Bethlehem. All of a sudden, an angel appears unto them. This glory is all around about them. They're scared to death as anybody would be. And they're just falling down. And the angel cries out, "Fear not." He lets them know, "Behold, I bring you tidings of great joy." See, the angel knew the importance that this is the single greatest event in human history up to this point. God is now in the flesh. He is now beginning His plan of redemption of mankind. It's the most important time period of Christ on earth in all of human history. And then the hosts of heaven could not hold back. Could you imagine seeing that night? When all of a sudden, they get a clear view of heaven, basically. And the multitudes of these heavenly hosts are there. There's no way. They understood the truth of the moment. They understood the significance of it. It wasn't about, they didn't say, go and just sit around with your family and be glad for Him. They said, no, get to that King. Get to Him. Worship Him. Understand, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Salvation has come. The shepherds had the right response. And think, this is the very first group who heard about it. It's the one that God decided to let them know. Remember, still a shepherd at this time was your lowest class. They were the humblest of the humble. And God announces to them. I think that the bigger reason is this, because they were raising sheep. And you know what those sheep are going to be used for? Sacrifice. Now the Lamb of God has come to the world. The one who would settle it forever. There would be no more need of those sacrifices anymore. Because the Lamb of God who doesn't cover the sin anymore, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, is come. The angels told them this will give them great joy. They knew upon hearing this, the Messiah is here. The Savior has arrived. They knew that God has not forgotten His promise. The Messiah is here. What they heard taught and what they heard preached every week now in synagogue for them, they heard it time and time again that one day God would send a deliverer. It was promised all the way back in Genesis chapter 3, right after man sinned in verse 15. God promised a Redeemer would come. Now the day has arrived. It's here. It's 4,000 years later, and the day has arrived. And of course, they have great joy. And I believe when you do see the truth of it, it gives you... You know what it does? It puts all your other problems in life in perspective. It does. It puts them all in perspective. Because once you realize, listen, life is all about the Creator. And you were separated from Him because of your sin. Headed for judgment. You were condemned already, the Bible says. And yet here is God making a means of reconciliation. He is providing an escape from an eternal judgment in a lake of fire. They certainly had joy. And I like how they responded. They made haste. They said, "We're going now. We're going now. We're getting there." You know why people don't really make haste anymore? They take their Christian life lots of days ago because they fail to see the truth of what it's all about. They've swallowed some of those or have fallen for some of those fake pearls using from Christ's parable about the pearl of great price. They think there's something else more important. Oh, you are so deceived. Because of all the fake religions out there, I mean, you can turn on TV, you see the fakeness that is just out there. Know what it all is? Diversion from truth. Because when you see really what it's all about, you will make haste and stay as close to God as you can. They left off immediately what they were doing. They said, we're going now. We've got to get into Bethlehem and find this child, which is exactly what they did. Again, when we see the truth, the great thing about this is it can bring you right into His presence. It can bring you right into His presence. In other words, it opens a door for you to have a real relationship with the Creator, where it's no longer simply Creator and creation, because that's all of mankind. We hear it said often, even from pulpits, how we are all God's children. That is an absolute lie. That is a diversion from truth. That's keeping people thinking we're all right. No, you're not. We're all God's creation, but we are not all children of God. Now, what Jesus Christ did is open the door for you to enter that relationship with God. But as many as received Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So we have the shepherd's reaction. We also saw Mary's reaction. And that was with amazement. That was with wonder. She pondered. I mean, she began pondering, of course, going all the way back to the announcement when an angel appeared unto her and said, you're going to be with child. What? Wait, I don't even know a man. What's going to be conceived of you is of the Holy Ghost. She knew then the process is beginning. And now the child is born. All these shepherds show up and they let them know. We had an angel come down from heaven, a glory shone round about us, and then we saw the host of heaven, and they're declaring that the Messiah is here, God in the flesh, Emmanuel. He's here right now. And so could you just imagine, as they had the realization, as they're sitting around in that manger, a feeding trough, that this is the Creator of the universe. The plan had begun. Redemption is going to be possible. And again, she's just a teenager at this point. That's all she is. And she's pondering as she hears about it. And just the amazement she had to feel, and of course the grace of God in knowing that God had selected her for this. As the child she's holding is the Creator. Now please understand this. Mary is absolutely not the mother of God. She's not the mother of His divinity. She's the mother of His humanity. I think at times we need to step back and simply think of the wonder of it all. To actually ponder the truths that we have. To ponder what Christmas really represents. To ponder how important that is. And how miserable we would be without it, without hope. Today we're so busy with everything, so many things occupying our mind and our time that we rarely have time just to set aside without anything. I mean, nowadays, it's rare that you ever see people actually just meditate and think. You know, you got music in your ears. You've got sound somewhere. We got the devices, the electric. All those things are good things. You know what they're diverting you from? Something better. Something better. And the devil can keep you from trying to dwell upon truth. Remember, he's all about blinding you from the gospel. You can have a great life in his eyes and he's just fine with it. Just stay away from the gospel. And then if you have heard it, he doesn't quit. He knows God's plan for disseminating the gospel to others. It's through us. So then he switches his focus on you to get you diverted from God's will. So you will tell no one. Mary took time to ponder, to think of it all. Again, we need to step back and ponder what God has done for us. She too had joy. I'm not going to turn there. We see that in Luke 1, the joy that she had in knowing what was taking place. I want to look at a third person, though, here. I'm not going to turn there for time's sake right now. But that's Herod. Herod didn't respond with joy. Herod did not respond with wonderment. That's a word. Is that even a word? I don't even know. I can create words at times. Just bear with me. Herod responded with anger. You see, Herod hears when the wise men come that a king has been born. I think the same thing we see in Herod is what prevents the majority of people from coming to know Christ. Herod's the king at this time. It's going to divide up after his death a little bit. But at this time, he's a real king. Herod the Great. assigned by Rome. And all of a sudden, these wise men come in one day and they say, listen, we have heard that a king has been born. We're trying to find him because they only got to Jerusalem at that point. And Herod's like, a king has been born? King of Israel? Somebody going to try and take my place? And so he puts on the deception. Hey, listen, I want you to find him. And when you find him, let me know. I'm going to come and worship him too. He's going to come and kill him. He responded in anger at it. Why? Because he viewed him as a threat to the throne that he held. Many people, when they hear the gospel, know what they understand? Christ is Lord and King. They don't want that. They respond with anger. They want nothing to do with that. This is my life. You know, you think of the model today of how proud we are. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to, I know what I'm doing. This is my life. You are so foolish. You are so foolish and deceived. Herod did not want anybody taking his place. I have a question for you. If Herod could change his mind right now, you think he would?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely he would. Matter of fact, I believe that if he had given the chance to go back and do it all over again after coming out of hell for 2,000 years, I believe he would rush throwing his crown at him, saying, here it is, and falling down on his face and worshiping him. You can have my crown. You can have it all. It's not worth it. I understand it's all about you. You are Lord of Lords. You are King of Kings. Who was I to dare even consider stepping in your place? See, many times, the reason why people do not come to Christ, because they do not want to give up the lordship of their own life. But who greater to give it up to than the Creator Almighty who genuinely loves you? He's not some aggressive, brutal dictator, thirsty for power. He's the holy and righteous God who decided to make you in His image. And through His love and through His grace, come up with His means of reconciliation. I mean, he that spared not His own Son, how shall He not also with Him freely give us all things? I would much rather put my life into control of the God who knows tomorrow than myself and my limited, wicked, foolish wisdom. How foolish Herod was. To close tonight, you see, there's great danger of being diverted from truth. Do you know why we focus so much on the Word of God in preaching? Because I know it's truth that'll make a difference. We could decide to put a rock music up here and change the style of music to bring people in to entertain them. But the responsibility of a local church is not to entertain people. It is to give truth. The entertainment might make you feel good, but it won't change your life. Let your world come crumbling down. And when your life is built on nothing but sand, there's nothing there. It has to be built upon the rock, on truth. There's danger in being diverted from truth in your life. One, as we see taking place in our own culture, you will miss the meaning of Christmas. I mean, we had a president who would simply say, Happy Holidays, Happy. We refused to say, Merry Christmas. The day is all about the birth of Jesus Christ. Do not be diverted from truth. It is up to that time was again the single most important event in human history, and he wants people diverted from it. It will not just affect you at Christmas time, though, when you're diverted for truth. It really affects you every day in your life. Apart from truth in your life, you will live a life of vanity, as I've already said. Many think, we can see it happening right now all over the place, people who are operating their life outside of truth. Many people think that life is simply living for the next dollar or living for retirement. What a complete waste of a life. They think it was just about that next promotion. If I can just get there, all their energies and everything's going to that side. They're spending their youth on it and their time on it. And before they know it, they begin to realize, man, I'm missing something. This can't be what it's all about. You're right. It's not. You are missing what it's all about. It's all about the Creator. You're living your life apart from truth. It's all about Him. What the world is putting out there as something successful and a great life is a diversion. Life is all about the Creator. It's about Him. We are the ones created in His image. We did not evolve to this from a process of time. It's a diversion from truth. We were created by the Holy God in His image. Life is about Him. We see as we're beginning to operate apart from truth how cheap life is. Murder is nothing nowadays. People are operating outside of truth. People think there's nothing wrong if a man wants to marry a man. Well, what's the harm in that? They're operating apart from truth. Apart from the holy and righteous God who loves them and died for them. People are operating outside of truth. And when they begin to believe this, there is no ultimate judge. You are your own judge. You are operating outside of truth. You will stand before Him and be judged. And the only way of reconciliation, the only way for you to stand right at that judgment, is if the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born 2,000 years ago, if His righteousness from the life He lived must be applied to your life. Because God's requirement is perfection. But none of us are. Except for one, of course, huh? The Lord Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life. He did that for you. That's why He lived the perfect. That's why He became a man. To live that perfect life in your place. To satisfy the holiness. And then willing to go to the cross. To take your sin upon Himself. So the Father could judge Him in your place. And satisfy His justice. See, that's the greatness of what Christmas represents. Reconciliation back to the Creator. And then on top of that. A life that can now be lived to glorify God. And understand that when you get up each morning, when tomorrow when you get up, and the next day when you get up, it's just not about the routine of the day. It's about the Creator. I've entered a relationship with Him because of what Jesus Christ did. My life is now about Him. It's not a boring life. It's what it's all about. It's what helps you when the storms and the trials come to realize this world is not my home. I'm simply passing through. It's all about Him. Listen, this Christmas and hopefully every day going into this next year, determine not to be diverted from truth, from what's right. It's only then that you can begin to see who Jesus Christ is, enter the relationship with Him, and then even make the right decisions for your life each and every day. With heads bowed and eyes closed. So I'm going to take just a minute here before we come to pray. Mitch, you can come up now, and Ruth can get ready.